Let us pray. Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Amen. Our scripture today comes from Malachi, the 3rd chapter, the 6th through the 12th verses. Hear now the word of God. I, the Lord, do not change, so you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are you to return? Will a man rob God, yet you rob me? But you ask, how do we rob you? Well, in tithes and offerings. You're under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines of your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Our scripture today comes from one of the 12 minor prophets of the Old Testament. A prophet is one who speaks to the people for God, and a priest is one who speaks to God for the people. This is exactly what Malachi did for the children of Israel around 430 BC. Well, this morning's scripture tells us God does not change. Well, in Hebrews 13:8, it says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. As the original disciple Bible study said over and over, the Bible is about covenant making and covenant keeping by God and covenant making and covenant breaking by his people. The children of Israel of Moses' day, of David's day, of Malachi's day strayed from God. How could they do that? The church of the 16th century did it. And we of the 21st century certainly do it too. And we need to hear God say, come back to me. What have I found in my own life and in the lives of others through reading, observation, and conversation is that most of us do not quickly end up in trouble. But little by little, we end up where we're not supposed to be. We also do not typically fall out of love overnight. But little by little, one decision after another, we do unloving things, and one day we wake up and we're not in love anymore. We do the same thing with our relationship with God. Typically, there is an ebb and flow in it too. So we are to come back. Well, over these 4 weeks, we'll be looking at our four cornerstones associated with our mission statement. They're worship, welcome, serve, and share. We believe that when we collectively are involved in these action statements, we will have the best opportunity to accomplish our vision statement, which is Kingswood strives to be a loving community where all are welcome, the lost are found, and disciples are made for the transformation of the world. I believe we all have wandered away from one or more of these cornerstones, either intentionally or apathetically. Additionally, it is not easy to stay focused when we're not able to meet in person and hold one another accountable. I believe when we begin failing in our faithfulness to these cornerstones, all of these things associated with our vision statement will also begin to disappear. When it comes to June and my faithfulness or stewardship to God, what I know is it did not come naturally. It certainly wasn't natural when we first got married and we were trying to figure out our married life and also this thing called parenthood. Things I thought would be easy and a no-brainer became increasingly more difficult. My parents, who for the previous 10 years or so had not been that smart, quickly became some of the smartest and hardworkingest people I had ever known. We were active in church, but our stewardship was not a priority. We were involved in a Sunday school class of young married couples and singles. It was taught by our senior pastor. During the stewardship campaign 1 year, he shared with us about how he and his wife began tithing. He said he did not start off tithing, but he became convicted, and each time he got a raise, he would take the majority of the raise and begin giving it to the church. Little by little, he moved from 3% to 4% to 5% to 6%, and one day he woke up and realized that he and his wife were tithing, giving 10% of their income to God through the church where he was serving. He told us things about what he believed about God and his relations in relationship to tithing. One of those that really struck me at the time was, if you're in debt beyond your means, you don't quit paying your debts to give to the church. That would not be a good witness as a Christian. But as you get out of debt, you need to begin giving something in a methodical way. Being methodical and disciplined is very important, I believe, when we're getting started in giving to God. Whatever you decide, you're going to give each pay period, each week, month, or whatever, it needs to be the first check you write. As we heard this, June and I began to do this, and as our pastor, Bob Gillespie, told us, we began giving. We got up to about 5% of our income, and then the church had a capital campaign in order to build a $2.3 million family life center. The church wanted us to pledge over a three-year period a sum of money that was over and above what we were already giving to the general budget. We pledged an amount, and we were hoping that those Christmas bonuses would keep coming, and hopefully we would be able to take a good portion of those bonuses and pay off our pledge. When the pledge finished, we realized that when we put both pledges together, we were now giving 10% of our net income to the church, and we then began to pledge that amount the next year to the church. Not only were we growing in our giving, what we found was the more we gave, the more our faith grew. I don't know which came first, but that's what happened. We then went to a Christian financial workshop, and they began talking about tithing, which means a tenth, and someone asked the question, should you tithe on your net income or your gross? The presenter then asked, what do you want to be blessed on, your gross or your net? And this one question then moved us to begin working up tithing on our gross, and we have never looked back. Over the years, we've never missed that money. It's now a way of life, and we know it is the thing that we're to do. And earlier this week, Susan Wynn sent out the statement of our giving, and it warmed my heart when I saw how methodical June, who pays our bills, had done with our pledge for this year. It's encouraging. Before we began tithing, I was asked to serve as a stewardship campaign chairman for my home church. And one of the greatest encouragements of my life was when I began looking over the pledges and of various church members. I was able to see God at work. Ladies of our church who so many years before, who had taught me in Sunday school, who were now widows, pledging and tithing based on their Social Security checks. These women did not have investments, didn't have 401k pension and the like, but gave sacrificially out of their poverty. They truly were giving the widow's mite. What a testimony. What a witness. Living on a small fixed income and yet tithing. And all these were beautiful, radiant countenances. Yes, God loves the cheerful giver, and they certainly were. And they inspired us as well. In our scripture, God says, come back to me and test me in this. Quit acting like a thief, robbing me and running away from me. Come back to me, love me, and respond to my love by bringing the entire tithe to the storehouse, that there might be food in my house, the house of God, the church. Kingswood needs dedicated disciples who are willing to do what is necessary to make disciples of Jesus Christ. One of the first things that must be done for this to happen is for us to, little by little, or all at once, in the power of the Holy Spirit, be generous with our resources, gifts, and graces in accomplishing God's call for our lives. When we're able, willing, and committed to do this, we don't need to strive to be a loving community. where all are welcome, the lost are found, disciples are made for the transformation of the world. We won't need to strive because that will be who we will be. Let us covenant together to grow in our worship and discipleship so this can become not what we strive for, but what we are. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.